stronger stuff based on John 1:29. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Last Sunday after church, I was chatting with Jesse and Rindy on their way out, and Rindy was looking slightly pregnant. And so she says, next Monday, I'm going in. And I said, well, we expect to see you Sunday then with that brand new little baby. And then she looks at me funny. She's like, no, next Monday. And I said, yeah, so we'll see you on Sunday. She's like, next. And anyway, I didn't get it. I wasn't thinking. And but what I didn't know was that actually I was speaking prophetically. Because on Tuesday, I got a text message and congratulations, Malcolm Manns has arrived. And so congratulations to Jesse and Rindy and Don and Darlene and their family. 3 weeks early. And I was accidentally prophetic. But sorry, Jesse and Rindy, and congratulations to you guys. But I didn't know that I was predicting anything. I was just making a mistake, and yet my words were something more. And we see this happening here in the scripture many times, over and over again. And as I was reading through the word, and looking at particular scriptures about a couple months ago, I wrote down this idea of accidentally prophetic. Because over and over, we see these words coming out of mouths of people who were antagonistic, people who were doubters, people who were cruel, people who were scoffers, and they were talking against Jesus, and in the process, they were accidentally prophetic. Why? Because God is sovereign. And so we see that, you know, they were trying to accuse Jesus. They were trying to condemn him, to mock him, and to dismiss him. And yet in all of those things, they declared the truth. And so we're going to take a look at a few of those. With the theme is that Jesus is the Lamb of God who came and took away the sins of the world. Now, as I was watching the video, I was watching my grandson, you know, and he was intently looking at that pan of oil thinking, yeah, that would be fun. And so maybe have a little conversation with your kids. I mean, they should have just seen by the video, this isn't a good idea. And so make sure that you have that conversation with them. But the first thing that we see is a man named Caiaphas, and we see him in John chapter 11. You see earlier on in John, that John declared that Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But by the time John 11 rolled around, some crazy things had happened. The religious leaders were looking at this Jesus, who they thought was a minor problem that needed to be dealt with, who suddenly became a major problem. Because when somebody's going around raising dead people, that becomes a big problem, especially when you're a religious leader. You see, people like Caiaphas, they were supposed to be the experts. They were supposed to have all the answers. And they were saying, oh, this Jesus guy, he's a false teacher. Jesus is just somebody he's here today. He's a flash in the pan. He'll be gone tomorrow. But Jesus stuck around. And Jesus kept doing things that were greater and greater. And suddenly, Lazarus was raised from the dead. And they had this meeting in which they got together and they had to have a talk about this because the religious leaders, they had something to lose if Jesus proved to be who he said he was. If he proved to be who he said he was, then these religious leaders, well, they were working on a system that would soon become obsolete. In fact, they had taken what God had provided and they had turned it into something totally different than what God intended. You see, God never intended for his law and the sacrifices and all of those things. He never intended them to be a I'm good enough checklist. His intention was always that it would be a mirror. That we would look at the law like that kid looked in the mirror and realize, wow, we're a mess. And the sacrificial system wasn't to make them feel good about themselves, but rather to point them to their need for forgiveness, to point them to the understanding that sin was costly, that sin was brokenness, that sin was rebellion against a holy and a righteous God who demanded perfection and from whom we fall so much short of his standards. But he would provide a way. And so the people would come and they would offer that innocent lamb on the altar to God. And that innocent lamb would die in their place, and the blood would pay, the blood would cover over their sins. But John recognized in John chapter 1, verse 29, that Jesus was the lamb who would not just cover over their sins, but would wash away the sins of the world. And so Caiaphas had something to lose. And so he says in John 11, verse 48, he says, if we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him. And he goes on to say, you know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient. It is good for us that one man should die for the people and not that the whole nation should perish. In other words, if Jesus keeps going the way he is, the Romans are going to get mad and they're going to come and they're going to take away our little kingdom and they're going to take away our temple worship and they're going to take away my job and our jobs. And we have to protect our religion. We have to protect our system. And so the sanctimonious made a declaration, and the declaration that they made was, it is better that Jesus dies rather than the whole nation. Here's what John, the writer of this account, says. He says, now he did not say this on his own authority, but because he was the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. His intentions was, you know, the one who resurrected Lazarus, we need to unalive him. We need to make sure he dies. We got to get rid of this guy. But prophetically, his words were Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Isn't that awesome? I look at this and I realize that even though everybody was working against the plans of God, even though they were all rebelling against the person of Jesus Christ, even though they didn't understand, that God still did what he was going to do. You know, the worst crime in human history, the murder of the Son of God, turned out to be the greatest act of redemption. Sometimes you might feel like you're God's plan. Have you ever felt this? God's plan for my life has been derailed. You feel like you're unqualified. You feel like the circumstances and the things happening in your life are getting in the way of God's plan being fulfilled in your life. And you don't realize, you know, the disciples, they thought everything was falling to pieces, when in fact, every piece was falling into place because God is sovereign. And so look at your circumstance and realize that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. So Caiaphas ended up preaching the gospel. You know the old saying, he's a poet and he didn't even know it. I try to come up with one. He's the prophet and he didn't even, and I asked ChatGPT, you know, come on, help me here. I'm like, this would be such an epic line. Nothing. I got nothing. The second one we see is the senseless. The senseless, the people who just follow the crowd. And we see this in the world today. People watch what's on the news and they all just say the same things and they repeat the same lines and everybody just follows each other. And you have different camps and they all just, this camp does this and this camp does that, because we're kind of a herd mentality, aren't we? We just kind of move in the same direction. That's just how we work. And they don't use their senses. And so I called this group the senseless, because you see, Pilate was trying to reason with these people, and you can't reason with the senseless. I mean, even Pilate understood that this man was innocent. And so Pilate finally gave up. He's like, you guys want to kill Jesus? Well, here we go. He got a bowl of water and he washed his hands. And he says, I am innocent of this man's blood. And you know what the crowd said? The senseless? They cried out. They said, well, let us take the curse. Let his blood be on us and on our children. Wow. What a statement. They were saying, you know what? We'll take the curse. Pilate's like, I don't want the curse. I don't want the blood of an innocent man on me. That's a curse. And they said, we'll take the curse. Let his blood, the blood of Jesus, be on us and on our children. But what were they saying? Once again, they were accidentally prophetic. They were speaking a powerful truth. You see, Caiaphas spoke the gospel truth that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God who was going to die in place of all of those who would have died. And these people, these senseless people, are declaring the power of the blood of Jesus to wash clean. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. You see, up till this time, they had used the law for a purpose that it was not intended for. You know, we have this graphic here, stronger stuff. I can smell it. Can you smell it? Yeah, some of you that got into the oil in the shop, and then you just pump the stronger stuff. The stronger stuff brand. It's the best brand. It's got the little lamb on it. It says, "Behold the lamb." Thank you, AI. It has grit to it, doesn't it? Normal soap doesn't do the job. Dish soap, no. You need stronger stuff. You see, what the people up to this point did, the senseless crowd were part of this group, the religious people, they actually taught these things. And they said, what you do is you take the law and then you check off all the things that you do in the law. And then you tell yourself, I'm really doing a good job. God must be so proud of me. When the law was never meant to be something you clean with, it was never meant to be a mop. It was meant to be a mirror. It can't clean. You'll end up just being like that boy in the video. You just smear it all around. It just becomes worse. And Jesus came and gave his blood. And God declared through a senseless crowd of rebellious people that blood is stronger stuff. It can wash away the sins of the world. You know, many people, because of this, think that the law itself is bad. You know, I remember growing up hearing a lot of people saying, talking bad about the law. But there's no problem with the law. In fact, you know, Paul says that the law in Romans 7, he says, therefore, the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and true. The law is good. The problem is with us. Paul almost had that in mind, I think, when he said in Romans 8:3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. The law is not bad. The law is holy. It's just. It's pure. The problem's with us. It's like Paul was saying to the church at the time, you know, hey, the law is saying to you, hey, it's not me. It's you. You got a problem. Your flesh is weak. The law was never meant to clean your sins away. The law was meant to, as Galatians says in 3:24, to be the tutor to bring us to Christ that we may be justified by faith. We need stronger stuff, people. The law shows us the grease. Religion tries to wipe it away. That's our own efforts. But only the blood of Jesus, stronger stuff, can cleanse us. Finally, there was the scoffers. I like that word, the scoffers. They were the gawkers and the mockers. They're just there. They're rubberneckers. They're a bunch of rubberneckers. Just, we all have that tendency, though, don't we? There isn't an accident that we don't want to gawk at. They want to just get a little glimpse so they can, you know, tell people on Facebook what all happened. They want to get a little view and just kind of put it out there. They are just there to gawk. But these ones weren't just gawkers, they were mockers. They were cruel and heartless people who stood around the cross and intentionally mocked the one who was innocent, the one who was dying on the cross. They said things such as Matthew 27, 42, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Or verse 43, he trusted in God, let him deliver him if he will. You know, they meant it as a dig. They meant to be jeering and mocking Jesus. But they accidentally preached the very heart of the gospel. This is the one that you look at and you're like, well, where do you really get the gospel in the he saved others, but himself he cannot save? How is there a gospel message in that? If you don't see that, I want to let you see how beautiful it is. He saved others. Yes, he helped all these other people. And then they turn around and say, himself he cannot save. And that is so true. They spoke truth that they had no understanding of. He couldn't save himself. Why? Because he came to save others. He couldn't bring himself off the cross, even though he definitely could have. We know that he could have called 12 legions. Why? Because he told Peter that earlier. When Peter tried to defend him, he's like, do you not know I could call 12 legions or more? That means 72,000 angels or more? That's enough to wipe out every human on the face of this earth. Jesus had the host of heavens at his disposal. He could have just, you know, done the old snap the finger and boom, the whole event is over. I mean, he's the one who stopped the issue of blood for a woman who bled for 12 years when no doctor could help her. Jesus stopped that bleeding. He could have stopped his own flow of blood. Jesus could have, you know, he's the one that silenced the storm. Don't you think he couldn't silence that mob? Jesus is the one who shouted at the graveside of his friend, "Lazarus, come forth." And yet, as he died on the cross, he shouted, "It is finished." And he gave up his spirit into the hands of God. He died. They said he trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. We wonder, how is that prophetic? Well, that's the most prophetic one you can get. They literally quoted the word of God without even knowing it. They were quoting from Psalm 22. Next year, Tina's going to quote that whole psalm for us, right, Tina? I'm looking forward to that. What a psalm. It starts off with, my God, why have you forsaken me? You recognize that line? Psalm 22, a messianic psalm. And in that psalm is that line. He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. And that's what they said. They didn't know they were quoting the word of God. He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. In that psalm, there's the pierced hands and feet of Jesus. There's people gambling for his garments. They're surrounded by enemies. And so this is what was spoken. And so we have the sanctimonious. We have the senseless. We have the gawkers and the mockers. And all of them are speaking gospel. Why? Because God is sovereign and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I love this final one, and I'm just going to mention that because this man knew exactly what he was saying. This is found in Luke 23, 47. And the centurion, a Roman centurion, responsible for part of the execution, spoke these words, "Certainly, this was a righteous man." I love that because not everybody had their eyes closed. Not everybody was mockers and gawkers and senseless and self-righteous, sanctimonious. But all of us were at one time. But at some point, the word of God, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. At some point, we heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and the light came on, and our hearts were humbled. We went to our knees, and we said, "God, I need your life." And if you haven't made that decision yet, I challenge you today, make that decision to know him, to love him, to receive him as your Savior, as your Lord, to receive that sacrifice for sin. Quit with the checklists. You'll never get there. You'll never be good enough. And turn to the Savior and start following him in the obedience of the faith, or faithful obedience. Let's take out our communion. We're going to close with communion today. Jesus has given us his word of truth so that we could be washed by the water of his word, cleansed by his blood, changed by his life, empowered by his Holy Spirit. And he met with his disciples. The word of God, in the beginning, we heard that this morning as well. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Jesus, the bread of life, the word of God, by his death and resurrection, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, has taken up residence inside of you. And so Jesus wanted us to always remember him through this meal. It's a meal of remembrance in which the body and the blood of Jesus takes center stage. So let's just take a moment and let's consider his body and his blood. And as you do that, as you just think about what this means, ask that Jesus once again would wash you with the water of his word, would continue that process of making you holy and more like him. Just take a moment, bow your heads, and let's do that. As they were gathered for the Passover, Jesus took the bread, and he broke it, he gave it to his disciples, and let's take part of the body of Christ together. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus is the living bread of life. And by the Spirit of God, he dwells inside of you. What an awesome thought. Jesus then took the cup, the blood of a lamb, perfect lamb of God, the lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. He said that this is the blood of the new covenant. This is his blood, which was given to many for the remission of sins. Let's remember the blood of Christ together. Jesus, we thank you for stronger stuff. We thank you that you cleansed what we could not clean away. That Jesus, you were the one sacrifice to end all sacrifices, that you offered yourself once, and that your blood is just as effective now as it was 2,000 years ago. We thank you for the miracle of your cleansing power. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Father, we praise you and we thank you for what you are going to do in and through your church. This Easter weekend, I ask that we would keep your body and your blood center stage in all our gatherings, in all our events, and whatever we do, that Jesus, we remember that you are the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through you. We thank you for this, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.